You're listening to the Encounter Podcast, featuring my latest messages and teachings. Don't forget to subscribe. The Encounter Podcast. Encounter the presence and power of the Holy Spirit.
My prayer right now is that as you hear this word, your hunger and desire for prayer would intensify. If you've been struggling with being disciplined and consistent in your prayer life, then you need to hear this truth because it will cause that spiritual hunger to pull you into the depths of prayer. Every true believer desires to establish a prayer life. Every true believer will do all they can to seek God on a daily basis. Now, when you become one who commits to prayer, when you become one who commits yourself to knowing God through that prayerful daily visitation with Him, then you will find, and I don't mean to sound negative, that you will often fail. In fact, I'm here to say, and again, I'm not trying to be negative, that you will fail from time to time. Now, this is where the battle begins in the mind, because when you miss yesterday's appointment for prayer, sometimes you imagine that when you go to pray today, that God is standing over you with His arms folded, looking down at you, angry and disappointed that you missed yesterday's appointment. But that's not the case. When you finally go to pray again, God is not looking at you and asking, "Where were you yesterday?" God is not looking at you and reminding you of the mistakes that you made the day before. God is just happy to see you seeking Him again. Now, many times we will find that momentum in prayer. Maybe you'll go a week, maybe you'll go a month where daily you're seeking the Lord and you're making contact with His glory and you're growing spiritually and you're seeing all of these things develop in your character that are more Christ-like. And then all of a sudden it seems that maybe life's concerns take you another direction, or maybe distraction pulls for your attention, or maybe the weight of some responsibility crushes out the inspiration from that momentum. And it's in that place that you have to remember that guilt is different than conviction. Conviction draws you closer to God. Guilt pushes you away in shame. Don't allow yourself to miss today's appointment because of the guilt of missing yesterday's appointment. Don't miss what God has for you today in prayer because you're so consumed by how you messed up by missing yesterday's prayer session. This is important because we do that back and forth as we grow. We do that thing where we take two steps forward, one step back, sometimes three steps forward, five steps back. But as you pursue God and as you work to develop, and it is a discipline, as you work to develop this prayer life, as you work to establish that faithful prayer life where you're making daily contact with the Lord, you will face these battles. Now, prayer is not just some obligation that we must fulfill. Prayer is not just some burden that God has placed on us that we have to fulfill, otherwise we'll anger Him. Prayer is not an obligation. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to connect with God. It's an opportunity to know His mind, His heart, His nature, His power, His will. It's an opportunity to truly go into the depths of the Spirit and be transformed by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. But we must commit to pray. Now, there are times when you will sense this, how shall I say, desire or hunger that causes you to pray. And then there are days, I'm just going to be honest with you, there will be days where you do not feel like praying. There will be days where you do not feel what I described as a spiritual momentum. And this is why I want to keep you connected to this truth. And I want you to keep this truth in your mind. I want you to remind yourself of this truth daily. Prayer is a privilege. Prayer is a privilege. Do you realize that only the Spirit-filled can truly pray? Yes, every earthly being or every human being who is mindful of their own existence can communicate from the earthly realm to the heavenly realm, but it's different. You see, people, when they find themselves in trouble, will pray. We recognize that people in the occult pray to demonic powers. We realize that people, even atheists, when they find themselves in particularly scary situations, suddenly they begin to pray. But there's a difference between praying from your mind, praying from your emotions, and praying from your spirit. There's a difference between praying as the unredeemed, and I don't mean to dehumanize them. I simply mean that there is a difference. There is a difference between praying as an unredeemed individual and as a redeemed individual. You see, when we pray, the believer prays, we have God's attention. When we pray, we have an audience with Him. The prayer that God hears from the wicked is that prayer of repentance. But until then, God is not by any means obligated to listen to them. But because we are His children, He has committed Himself to hearing the cries of our heart. It truly is a privilege to pray. Now, in the Old Testament, we see the tabernacle. And the tabernacle was the place that held the presence of God. For the children of Israel, it was their means to connect with God. Now, the tabernacle was constructed in three parts. There was the outer court, the inner court, and the most holy place. Without going into too much detail, I will explain this one truth to you. The inner court, the most holy place, was the place that the glory of God dwelt. It was in the Ark of the Covenant, or I should say on the Ark of the Covenant, that the glory of God would hover. And the presence of God would follow the children of Israel as they moved about through the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant, as I said, was stored in the most holy place. Now, in order to commune with God, in order to connect with God, in order to speak with Him, they had to use the priests. The priests had to go through ceremonies in order to speak with God. They had to be ceremonially clean. They had to have gone through rituals. They had to have prepared sacrifices. They had to memorize different things to pray. And they were very strict to the standard that God had given to them. They held that strict standard, otherwise they could not enter. So as they went through the outer court, the inner court, and into the most holy place, they followed a very strict set of rules and regulations. And if they broke away from those regulations, they were killed. I'm serious. I'm going to show this to you. Look at Leviticus chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of Aaron's two sons, who died after they entered the Lord's presence and burned the wrong kind of fire before Him. By the way, that's a reference to Nadab and Abihu, who offered strange fire before the Lord. You see, when the priesthood first began, the Lord told them, keep the fire burning, don't ever let the fire go out. And in fact, they did just that. But God was the one who provided the fire. He never told them to start the fire. The fire, in fact, came from heaven and consumed the altar. So the fire that came from heaven and rested upon the altar was to be kept burning because it was heavenly. Nadab and Abihu brought man-made fire to the altar of God, so they were killed. Verse 2, the Lord said to Moses, warn your brother Aaron not to enter, watch this, not to enter the most holy place behind the inner curtain whenever he chooses. So he couldn't just go in whenever he wanted to. If he does, he will die. For the ark's cover, the place of atonement, is there, and I myself am present in the cloud above the atonement cover. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 17 says, no one else is allowed inside the tabernacle when Aaron enters it for the purification ceremony in the most holy place. No one may enter until he comes out again after purifying himself, his family, and all the congregation of Israel, making them right with the Lord. People died when they touched the Ark of the Covenant. 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 19 says, but the Lord killed 70 men from Beth Shemesh because they looked into the Ark of the Lord. They just glanced in there. And the people mourned greatly because of what the Lord had done. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 5 and 6 say this, meanwhile, David and all the house of Israel were celebrating before the Lord with all kinds of instruments made of fir wood, with lyres, harps, tambourines, castanets, and cymbals. But when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out toward the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen nearly upset. In other words, the oxen almost knocked it over, and then Uzzah reached out. Let's actually go to verse 7 as well. And the anger of the Lord burned against Uzzah, and God struck him down there for his irreverence, and he died there by the ark of God. Imagine that. Everybody celebrating and worshiping. The Ark of the Covenant is being presented, and everyone is having a great time. And then all of a sudden, the music and the celebration is disrupted because a man drops dead, all because he reached out to touch the Ark of the Covenant and the oxen nearly knocked it down. He was trying to stop it from falling, yet he was still killed. Now you may say, well, wait a minute, David, that doesn't sound right. That sounds like God was being mean. Well, here's the reality. For example, God created fire. If you create fire, you will be burned. If you light yourself on fire, you will probably die. Now, as interesting or as odd as that may sound, my point is that you don't play with fire. You don't go and just jump off a cliff because gravity works. In the Old Testament, God's glory was a force like that. It was just, it was a matter of fact. It was a reality. So God wasn't cruel. They were told to be very careful with this. They were told this was lethal. They were told that His glory was so great that it was too much for their mortal bodies to handle, yet they disobeyed. And so when they touched the glory of God without having been properly prepared, they would drop dead. So think about this now. In the Old Testament, they had to enter the presence of God at a certain time, under certain conditions, after having performed certain rituals, after having to go through a bunch of ceremonies. They were held to a strict standard. That's how serious this was. God was very strict about who could enter His presence. Now, Moses would talk to God on the mountain and nobody else was allowed to come up and see Him. But watch this now, because Moses was able to talk with God, but he was called out. That's why it was so amazing that Moses would talk to God face to face as one would talk to his friend. But the rest of Israel had to go through the priest. Now, we know the outer court, the inner court, and the most holy place make up the Ark of the Covenant. But do you know that between the inner court and the most holy place was a curtain? That curtain blocked the way, and it wouldn't allow you to accidentally go into the most holy place. The curtain was there for protection. Imagine someone didn't go through the process correctly, or imagine someone just stumbling into the most holy place and being killed by the glory of God. So they put a big curtain there that would let people know, right here is where you don't enter. It was a blockage, it was a sign, it was a barrier between the people and the glory. Now watch this. In Mark chapter 15, we see something astonishing. Because the people of Israel had to go through the priest. The priest had to go through the curtain. But in order to go through the curtain into the most holy place, they had to go through a very strict religious process. That curtain represents separation from God. That curtain represents a barrier. That curtain represents the blockage from going into His presence. But here in Mark chapter 15, beginning at verse 33, we see something astonishing. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. At the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing nearby heard this, they said, "Behold, he is calling Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with vinegar. He put it on a reed and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Wait," he said, "let's see if Elijah comes to take him down." This is the crucifixion. Verse 37. But Jesus let out a loud cry and breathed his last. In the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. I want you to think about that. That barrier, that blockage, that sign that said, "Do not enter," was torn from top to bottom. You couldn't have torn it, symbolically speaking, from bottom to top, because man could not have done it. It was such a tall curtain that they would have had to climb to tear it all the way up. It was torn from top to bottom, meaning God Himself tore it down. It was because of what Jesus did on the cross for you and I that we've been given access. Think about this, access to encounter God Almighty, the Creator of the universe, the mind that formed it all. Mysteries eternal in His eyes. You and I can go in now and speak with Him, talk with Him, and He'll speak with us, and there will be no death. and there will be no consequence. We can go before him. And we don't have to wait for the appointed time. We can go before him any time we wish. It truly is a privilege to pray. That is the privilege of prayer. In the Old Testament, when they went in to the Holy of Holies, they went in trembling, with shaking hands and shaky knees, wondering if they did everything correctly, wondering, did I check off everything on the list? As they approach that lethal, deadly power, they approached with fear and trembling. But you and I, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, you and I approach differently. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. Now watch this. So let us come boldly, boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Can you believe that during worship services, when we're lifting our voices to worship God Almighty, and when we're standing in his manifested presence, can you believe that people just stand there and stare? Think about the fact that the children of Israel, when they watched Moses go up the mountain, they stood at the foot of the mountain, and they saw the smoke, and they saw the lightning, and they felt the mountain shake. And they stood there at the foot of the mountain, only dreaming and wondering and guessing as to what could be happening in the cloud. Yet today it's open. It's available. And all too often we stand there, that veil torn into, with eternity himself having given us an invitation to enter. We daily walk past that, look into the curtain, see the glory available, see the way of God prepared, and then we turn our focus to something else. How often do we look at the opening and then turn to watch Netflix? How often do we look at the opening and then turn to play some video game? We look at the opening and then fill our schedules with only family things, fill our schedules with work, fill our schedules with school. Eternity himself has made himself available to you. It is a privilege to pray. Remember that when you're faced with the choice to answer the call or to continue to pray. And I'm talking about a phone call, not the call of God. Remember that when you're faced with the choice of whether or not you should wake up just a little earlier so that you can seek the face of God. Remember, the veil is torn. There's no more work needs to be done to enter. Go and enter boldly into the glorious presence of God.
Thank you for listening to the Encounter Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. You can help keep the Encounter Podcast on the air by becoming a monthly supporter or making a one-time donation now. To give, just go to DavidHernandezMinistries.com/donate. Until next time, remember, nothing is impossible with God.